I know your thoughts.
For David Njoku to come out and play, that maybe this would be a boost for this Browns offense, but well, he's out, and we're still back to the two tackles being out. You know, now Wyatt Teller on IR on top of that one, which means that three out of the five positions on the offensive line are going to be backups, third string, and heck, fourth string, which is not exactly what you're looking for. Especially even if, and hey, Max Crosby hasn't practiced all week. So who knows what that's going to look like. If we get any information whatsoever when it comes to Max Crosby, we will let you know. But boy, without those two, and even if it's a hobbled Max Crosby, that is concerning. So just to get everybody up to speed, if you are hopping in and joining us now, the Friday Injury Report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Jedrick Wills out for this game. Jack Conklin out for this game. Tight end David Njoku out for this game. Pierre Strong out for this game.
All right, fun. So let's try to figure out who you're, what you're doing. Dwight Jones is apparently okay. Okay to play. We'll find out a little bit more, I would think. I don't know. We'll find out. Zach Zinter, you know, moves himself into a spot.
Into right guard. He played well last week. We'll see if he'll fill in for Wyatt Teller from there. We'll see what it looks like.
I don't know. If I was the other team, I would just try to exploit the rookies left and right.
I mean, that's why you got Christian Wilkins. I mean, that's why you paid the guy, and that's why everybody on the Browns wanted him to begin with.
I was kind of hoping they were going to try to bring in more offensive linemen, but
the problem is, man, where do you look? Like,
they also have
if we do that, look, and we made fun of you, so we have to make fun of Jeff on top of that,
right?
If we went and put together the Jeff Phelps clunker list of offensive linemen, right? You know, right. Jeff's notorious for throwing these lists together.
You could make a trade if somebody had an extra one. I mean, I'm just saying.
But I mean, you get a call,
and then you're asking them to instantly be good,
right? But who would you call? I mean, we've come to learn.
I don't know who's got extra offensive linemen sitting around. Oh, we got too many offensive linemen. Yeah,
exactly.
No one's saying that. Yeah,
no one is ever saying that, which is one of the biggest bummers that come from it. Because you're right; it would be perfect to be able to go make that kind of call and make that trade. That trade doesn't exist, though. There's nobody that's out there that's like, you know what? I just have way too many offensive linemen. Like, it just doesn't exist. So, like, if you're putting the cash for clunkers list together for, you know, the Jeff Phelps clunker list, David Bakhtiari is probably 1-1 on that list.
Mm-hmm.
David Bakhtiari's knee, sadly, is held together with duct tape, chewing gum, and twine. Like, he has had so many surgeries on that knee, it's ridiculous. There is a reason why the Jets have not signed him yet. He's one of Aaron Rodgers' best friends, and he's not on the Jets. There has to be a reason for it. Jason Peters is like 42. And he is completely cooked. That is out there. I'm trying to think of other offensive linemen who are tackles who are out in free right now that you would even have somewhat interest in. And it's just not pretty. Like, it's not a place you want to be. If you are a viable offensive lineman that could contribute to a team, you're probably on a roster.
I agree. I don't know where it's not. Offensive linemen don't grow on trees. That's for sure. I mean, every once in a while you can find somebody who's a, like a wide receiver or running back, especially. You can find someone who's, you know, kind of sitting on the couch and you'll be able to bring him in. But at this point, I don't know how you fix this. And are you hoping that Ifedi is going to be able to do anything this week? I mean, the problem I have with him is that when they said, we're not going to throw Deshaun in the Seattle preseason game, and that there were worries about him playing left tackle in a preseason game, and now you might have to use him in a regular season game with Deshaun. Like, I don't know how you have confidence in that. I don't see any of it.
It's not good. I mean, this is, the offensive line was the strength of this team coming into the season. We thought they had depth. They kept 10 offensive linemen or something like that on the final 53-man roster.
Yeah.
We thought there was a boatload of depth here. We thought that this whole offense would begin with the offensive linemen. The line has been porous. Okay? It's been bad. And so now you've got injuries on top of bad, which is only showing more of it. Like,
so here's my other question. So now
DJ Humphreys do anything for you? Like, no.
Are you moving Joel over to left tackle and then putting James Hudson on the other side? Or are you moving? Well, you've got DeJuan Jones.
Well, you got DeJuan Jones, right.
So maybe. I hope with you. He's not even healthy. Like, he's not playing anywhere near where he played last year.
I mean, the offense looked the best going up against the Giants. When it was Joel Bitonio, Nick Harris, Ethan Posick, Nick Harris, Zach Zinter.
Harris played center.
Right.
Right. And then you kind of move the line over. So
right.
You move Bitonio over to left tackle. You move Posick over to left guard.
Right.
Is that what they did? And then they took Nick Harris, made him the center.
Right.
Then you had Zinter and then Jones.
And then Jones on the other side. That's when it
like I don't remember
best.
Ever saying in the it, prior to last week, oh, let's put Joel Bitonio over at left tackle.
No, that was a solution that a lot of fans have thrown out for a long period of time, and Joel Bitonio has been the number one person saying, like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not built to do this. Like, yes, I did it in college, and yes, I made it work in a pinch, but like, boy, this is not a way we want to live life. And especially a 32-year-old Joel Bitonio on top of that one, who I think even he might say it is not exactly having the best season.
No, what could you move DeJuan Jones over to left tackle and then move Bitonio over to right tackle? You're not going to do that.
No, you'd rather move.
You want to keep him on
the
same side.
Initially, yeah. The fact that they've done it initially tells you that they feel more comfortable with Bitonio at left tackle.
And then what else? They're sitting with another rookie, Javion Cohn.
Sure.
Who's another guy that can back up. Fetty is a back. I mean, it doesn't. Man, it is slim pickings on that offensive line. Let's sneak in a phone call. Robert's in Brecksville. Hey, Robert.
How are you, Robert?
Well, you know, I have an answer for you on the amount of Browns fans walking through Hopkins Airport right now because I just got off my flight from Oakland.
Oh, you okay? So you were in – wait a minute. You went to Oakland. Did you go to the game?
Called in yesterday. He went to the game yesterday for the closing of the Coliseum. It was very cool.
All right, first start with that. How was that?
It was very emotional. I went not as an A's fan, but as like, you know, as part of baseball history, because even though I was alive and sentient when the Browns left, I was like 4 or 5 years old. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know anything about football. So I wanted to come in and take the atmosphere in of, even though it was only temporary, of a team, a city losing its team due to whatever political nonsense is going on. But I mean, it was definitely very emotional. I mean, it has nothing to do with red versus blue or brown and orange versus white or black and yellow. This is history. It's culture. It's nostalgia. It's time. It's memory. You can never get back. So I mean, I can.
All right. So it was an emotional time. Take me forward now. Yeah. Get me to the next part of the story. The Browns. So you're at the airport in Oakland, or you just got to Vegas?
No. I'm in Hopkins right now. I landed. Oh. I stuck around because I was listening on the plane. Heard you talking about how many people Browns fans are walking around the airport right now.
Oh,
so I
yes.
just walked the airport.
Gotcha.
During the last night segment. There are Browns fans here. I've seen some brown and orange. I talked to one couple that, you know, were flying to Vegas. A couple of the direct flights don't leave for another 3 or 4 hours, so it's not too crowded yet. Either later tonight or for Saturday, you're going to see a lot more. But there are some here right now that are flying to Vegas.
All right, so you're going up and talking to people. Excellent job. You're doing a very good job as our on-site reporter.
Man on the street.
Rob, yeah, you are the man on the street for Baskin and Phelps right now. So good.
Yeah, one more thing. Puba's there right now, right? Because I got some stuff from Vegas, from the game I want to give to him, some historical pieces.
I am unaware of any situation because we are locked in our room. You know, that's how we do things.
Yeah, we're in our
room. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sure he's there. I'm sure he's listening. I'll stop by later.
No idea. Okay, thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Is it your day to watch him or not?
Huh? For Puba?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's Junior Puba. He's...
Oh, you know, Junior Puba's in charge of...
Oh, most stuff.
I didn't realize that.
That's how it works.
All right.
It's more like a handler. You know, Puba's got a lot of things to do. He needs a handler.
Does he have to walk around with a championship belt? Now, that would be cool.
That was always...
Look out, Puba coming through!
That was always one of the wrestling gimmicks that would forever make me laugh, was you would get the picture of the guy holding the title belt, and they had to have it on them, and they would walk through the airport with the title belt.
I can't remember who it was, and I can't remember...
So funny.
Trying to remember what they had won. Somebody in Columbus had won a championship, and I remember because I was kind of young, and we were down like in the short north. I remember being out with probably somebody else who's still here, who's working here in town right now. And I remember being at one of the bars down there, and all of a sudden I looked up, and there's a guy, and his job is just to hold up the belt and walk behind. And I
that's awesome.
I don't think I'm not outing Jay Crawford on that. But then Jay and I were out in the short north after one of our shows in Columbus. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I was like, what the?
Was it a professional wrestler or a boxer?
No, it was a boxer, and I can't remember who it was, but he was walking around, and like he had a guy, and the guy was like a hype man behind him, and he was holding the belt up, and
that's so funny.
What is this guy doing? Like, that's your job?
Oh, the boxer entourage is legendary.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like a job. Your job is to walk behind said champion?
Yeah.
With a belt?
Well, and then you got to have somebody else who walks in the room and announces that the champ is here.
Oh,
you
I know, can
that's
do that.
The other one, too. Oh, the boxer entourage is the all-time of entourages.
Why don't we do that? Can we do that? Maybe Anybody need that? I'm available on the weekends to do that. I'm going to come in. I'll walk in. And ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Parma, Bobby Smith, the champ, is here in the house.
It would be great. I'd love to make an intro like that. I would love to do that once. Like there are two intros that I want. One of them would be that one, and the other one is I've always wanted the James Brown intro. Like I've always wanted somebody to come out beforehand and give me like 700 nicknames and then get the crowd absolutely hyped to do, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Brown. Like the way that they used to do it before, like at the Apollo, if you've ever listened to Live at the Apollo or any other James Brown concert. It's unbelievable the intro that James Brown would get. That intro I would love.
This might be a ding moment here, but like I had a I love Cleveland moment this morning.
Okay.
As I stopped in one of the coffee places here on the way in, and I look, and there's a guy with a baseball hat on, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'm like, oh, it's the mayor. And he was just totally just waiting for a cup of coffee, just like all of us. And I was just like, you know, only in a town like Cleveland would no one go up and bug the mayor while he's waiting for, except for me, because I went up and said hi. So
high is one thing. Going I don't know. Up to it just, it was saying, here are the 18 things that you have done poorly that I would like to voice to you.
No, it was just one of those reasons why I love Cleveland. You know, I don't know why I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, I'm standing next to the mayor. You know, I was like, if we were in like New York or something like that, do you think that's happening?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so. And then they'd have to have a giant entourage too.
Well, if you're in New York, it's probably the, you know, here are my 18 complaints and grievances. And they begin with the rats and work their way up from there.
Yeah, no, I looked over there.
Especially
like,
now that you got a rat czar. Now you really got somebody you can yell at in New York City.
I thought it was kind of cool. He could just go in there and get a cup of coffee. No one's bothering him and like no one cared. Yeah. Right? I don't know. I think that's what makes the city unique and it's great. And I think that's a lot of reasons why you see like actors and stuff when they come into town and they do stuff. Like everyone will be like, hey, how are you? And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't make a big deal.
The occasional photo, that kind of stuff, but it's not like insane.
Yeah, like when they were making a movie.
McConaughey said nothing but really nice things about around here.
Oh, that was what I was told too, that like there's a restaurant in town that he would go to frequently, and like he would even come back into town to go to that restaurant.
Oh gosh, when they shot Superman, James Gunn put that really nice
thank you, Cleveland kind of stuff.
Yeah, you guys were great.
Yeah, I don't know. Pat yourself on the back, Cleveland. You earned it.
You got that going for you.
It's a good job. All right, now let's go back to the Browns here for a second because I'm concerned. And, you know, if you're this light on the offensive line, can you really have – like I can't walk into one of these games and have, like, gigantic expectations. Like, I need them to survive offensively. That's what I'm looking for. And because the other thing is we started the show and we were hoping that David Njoku could play. Now we know he's out for Sunday's game. Out.
Well, how do you
– Pierre Strong, out.
This is going to be – I'm taking this from conversations I have had with on the air with John Greco, where mm-hmm. I've learned a whole lot about offensive line stuff just by talking with John Greco, who is former Browns offensive lineman, A-plus human being on top of it. He would always tell you that the best thing you could do for your offensive line is run the ball. No matter how banged up they are, no matter any of those things, run the ball. Mm. Run the ball, run the ball. I wonder if we are going to see a different game plan going into this week, because how do you slow down a pass rush? You run the ball. How do you save your offensive linemen? You run the ball.
How do you beat the Giants last week? Too soon?
So I partially wonder if maybe you're seeing, or at least hoping, you're going to take the playbook and basically go, all right, let's keep this for a rainy day. Let's just run the hell out of the ball. Let's just turn around and hand it to Jerome Ford and hand it to Deontay Foreman, and let's just run the ball, and we'll work play action off of it. Maybe take what we have done of late, maybe take a lot of the spread concepts, all of that kind of stuff that we've seen more and more of in this offense, and maybe put those on ice or at least minimize them and just run the ball.
All right, what are you expecting from Deshaun Watson on Sunday? That's my other question. Now that you know that your two tackles are out again, they're going to have to figure this thing out with scotch tape and rubber bands on the offensive line. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Brian Anderson joins us at high noon.